stay mental. When DEA stop my Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new installment of the Stew Pod, the Yahoo Sports Baseball Podcast. I am Mike Oz.
And I am Chris Slick.
Chris, I realize in the past that I don't talk much about the music that we play. I tend to pride the Stew Pod on having the dopest beats out there.
Of course,
it's definitely something I try to do. So I feel like today I should say that the song we heard in the intro was a hip hop group called Mood. The song is called Karma. I chose it specifically this week because they are from Cincinnati. And that song is actually from like 97 or 99. It's pretty old. But we're doing a podcast all about the All-Star Game, all about the upcoming All-Star festivities, the Home Run Derby, and of course, that is in Cincinnati. So showing some love to Cincinnati on many fronts this week on the podcast. We have guests joining us, C. Trent Rosecrans from the Cincinnati Inquirer, who covers the Reds and loves Pete Rose. And our own Kevin Kaduk, who is been covering the All-Star Game for many years on Big League Stew and is going to be in Cincinnati this year. So really looking forward to the show, and we have a lot of good things to talk about, such as...
So with C. Trent, we're looking at everything Cincinnati, including the All-Star Game, Pete Rose, how the voting went down, the reaction among the fans, the reaction among some of the players... whether Johnny Cueto is going to get in, which at the time of recording, we're not sure. And then, you know, some fun stuff. If you're going to be in the area and you're listening to the podcast, you're going to find out maybe where you can go to get something to eat, have a nice drink. You know, if you've never been to Cincinnati before, I feel like you're going to learn a lot from C. Trent.
Indeed.
And then with K-Duck, we're kind of doing... You know, we're looking at the All-Star Game in general, but he also has a pretty lengthy history with attending games, and so we look into that a little bit. We get to talk about some of the stuff he's seen over the years, some of the things he's experienced, and we talk a little bit about the Home Run Derby there, which we don't do with C. Trent. So it's pretty good stuff, I think, but I'm biased.
Chris is also a big fan of the Home Run Derby, so any chance he gets to talk about it is wonderful. I mean that realistically. You do like the Home Run Derby.
I do.
You just don't like the format.
I don't know how it's going to go. I'll let you know next week.
So we got a good show. Hope you guys enjoy it. Hope you guys enjoy the All-Star Game. It's going to be a lot of fun the next week or so. So here is everything you need to know about the 2015 MLB All-Star Game on the Stew Pod. Really don't know what you came here for. This is the Stew Pod, the baseball podcast on Yahoo Sports. We are doing our All-Star Game edition and are pleased to have with us C. Trent Rosecrans from the Cincinnati Inquirer, a friend of the baseball blogosphere, I think friend of Big League Stew, and all-around bearded human being. How's it going?
All accurate. That is all accurate. Yes.
So the first thing we learned about Cincinnati in trying to do this interview is that Cincinnati is not in Eastern time, which me not knowing anything kind of past like east of Nevada, I messed that up. So apologies, sir.
Yes.
But I'm happy you're here
Eastern
with us.
Time. Yes, and I'm here at 2 p.m. Eastern.
The people won't know any different, but I do apologize. So we're doing a little bit of Cincinnati music on the podcast this week. I got a lead in like a high tech and a Jonelle song, Round and Round, which is a wonderful song. I wanted to ask you first of all, what is your favorite Cincinnati band or artist or group or whatever?
Oh, the Afghan Whigs.
Okay, that's what I thought you were going to say, but you know.
I mean, the Nationals up there, but the Afghan Whigs.
All right.
I mean, that's been like my favorite band for. Like long before I ever had stepped foot in the state of Ohio. So, I mean, it's just is kind of a natural. Yeah, the Afghan Whigs.
All right. That one worked out for you then. Good to know. We'll ask you some other fun Cincinnati stuff later, but I think we want to talk a little bit of All-Star stuff to start us off. And Chris, you want to jump right in on this?
Yeah, yes. You know, you were tweeting earlier today about some of the FanFest activities, so... I'm just kind of wondering what's the coolest thing you've seen thus far as the city kind of gets ready for the All-Star Game.
One of the cool things, I mean, I don't know if you've seen this on games, the Scripps Center, which is kind of right behind Great American Ballpark. it's one of the taller buildings in town, and they've put like the more or less the logo, just like the hat and mustache on the top of the building. And it's, you know, 30-story building or whatever, and it's up there, and it is really cool looking, and it kind of overlooks the stadium. And so if you're shooting from a picture or TV shot from Kentucky, you can see like that hat and mustache overlooking the stadium, and I think it looks really, really cool.
Those giant mustaches they put around town, how do Cincinnati people, what do they think of those? Are those cool, or are they kind of like weird and strange?
I think they're fun. I mean, and everybody gets to do their mustache ride joke. Yes. And yeah. Do the fake, the laugh. And
guilty. Yeah. I've done it.
Yeah, I know. Because you can't pass it off. Like, hey, look, mustache ride. Yeah. So, and they're kind of smaller than a lot of places because most of those are vertical and these are kind of horizontal. And it's kind of interesting. They have them at every All-Star event. And, I mean... You get your mustache ride jokes, and you get to have your three-way jokes for the Cincinnati Chili. So it's good. No, I think they're all right. The mustache is everywhere. I wrote a story about this, though, when they announced those and they first unveiled them, of how odd it was because for the longest time, the Reds banned facial hair. And it wasn't until 99, when Greg Vaughn got traded over, that a Reds player could have facial hair. And there was this ban, and it was like written into all the contracts for years, and you couldn't have facial contracts. Raleigh Fingers, they were going to sign Raleigh Fingers, but he decided to retire instead of cut his mustache off.
And now it's the All-Star
and
game.
And now it's everywhere.
That's progress, America. That is a sign of how far we've come as a society, that we have big old mustaches allowed everywhere in Cincinnati, I guess.
Yeah, the important things.
Trent, I've got to hit you up with some Pete Rose questions. I know how excited you are about him.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
He got a lot of hits once.
I guess first off, I should start with you'd also mentioned on Twitter. I'm all about your Twitter feed, by the way. Which is
I can tell. It's
at
good research
C Trent.
You did.
I'm just stalking you on Twitter 24/7. You mentioned that you are not on the Pete Rose beat this year. And in your mind, is that something you're disappointed about, or is that a relief for you? I thought I knew the answer, but I figured I had to ask.
No, it's no coincidence that the newest member of our staff got the Pete Rose beat. Like, hey, we should probably have someone who does all the Pete Rose stuff and just one person on the Pete beat. And Jim Mozarski, great guy, was like, oh, I'll do it. And we were like, sucker, and he's on the Pete beat, so he is a sucker. He is doing the Pete beat and doing a great job. Of course, anybody who's not me is doing a great job on that.
How do you gauge the expectations of what the fans like? What do they want to see?
What do they want to see? They want to see like Pete. They want to see Cooperstown fly into here, bring his plaque, and just say, "Yeah, our bad." You're in, and we're renaming Cooperstown Pete Rose Town.
Okay, so that's best case scenario for
two. Yeah.
All right, good.
I'm not betting on that.
You never know, man. Rob Manfred likes radical ideas.
Your odds are pretty... I mean, if you do put that dollar bet on, the return is going to be awesome.
Then A-Rod's going to come out just riding a big mustache and just like waving at the crowd. It'll be great. Best All-Star game.
And then he'll take like a metal chair and beat over Pete and like, boo! And yeah, that'd be the best All-Star game ever.
There would be a ton of blog posts to write about that.
Like the blogs would all just explode. Like you remember the old Twitter fail whale? That would be all the internets.
I saw this is a really stupid question, but... I saw you posted something that they have a thing at the fan fest where you can race like Billy Hamilton, essentially.
Yeah, it's cool. It's like for kids, and it's like video, and it's just like ready, set, go, and like they have video of the pitcher throwing and the break of I think it has Billy Hamilton, Bryce Harper, and Mike Trout. But I mean, it's Cincinnati. You got to do Billy.
Yeah. So here's the stupid question: how bad would Chris lose?
I don't think they were 60 feet 6 inches. I really don't, because watching that kid get close, he would do better than I would.
I'm not fast.
I'm deceptively slow. I know I look like I run like a gazelle. I'm even slower than I look. I remember when I was in high school, like the local public access type channel was showing, they would tape some of our games, my high school games. And I just remember watching TV, like it was on like at whatever, some other time, because that's how bad the programming was. Armed Forces Radio Network Service is really getting your money's worth, taxpayers' dollars. But they're showing it, and I'm like, oh my God, who runs so funny? I'm going to make so much fun of them. Oh, crap, that's me. I am like, I look like I put all the effort in the world, and I go nowhere. So, yeah, I'm slower than I look, which is quite the feat.
Well, I still want to see Chris race Billy Hamilton.
Sometimes. Nobody wants to see that. all right, so I want to get into some more kind of serious questions about the voting and, you know, the game in Cincinnati. So Todd Frazier, he's the starter, the hometown starter, and he was kind of a late addition to the starting lineup. So I guess I'm just wondering kind of what was the, I don't know if fan reaction is the right word, but what was the push kind of like at the end of that, at the end of the voting?
It was really impressive, honestly. I mean, the Red social media department is really good at what they do, and they pushed it hard. He was trailing Matt Carpenter by a large margin, and then they're like, "Oh yeah, we should probably push this because we can't, you know, trust people not to vote Omar Infante." And so they pushed it, and he pulled through. And I mean, and the thing is, I think even casual fans, like, you look at the stats and you go, wait, this is the guy, it's in his place, and really, even if you just look at it any other way, this is the guy who should be starting if you're going on who's having the best season so far. And it really is Todd Frazier. Those 24, 25 home runs is pretty tough to overlook. He's been having a very, very good season.
Yeah, what was his reaction to that? Because I know it's his second time in the game, but I think it's his first as a starter, right?
Yes, he was in it last year. He was a pinch hitter, and he walked. Who walks in a all-star game? I mean, they've got to really be outside the zone to walk. But, yeah, and so he was the runner-up last year at the Home Run Derby, and it was interesting. They did this whole ambassador thing last year, or this year, the all-star game ambassador, him and Barry Larkin. So there's all these big pictures of him and Barry Larkin all over the place. And Todd's kind of the perfect guy to do it. He has that outgoing personality. He doesn't mind talking to the TV cameras every day, and it's kind of been like that. But he's been very good about it. And, you know, it was a good choice because he's backed it up on the field. And I think that's the biggest thing. And that's made it, you know, it makes it look, the optics of it are much better when he backs it up on the field.
And so now you're left with Johnny Cueto fighting for the final vote. And we already know the two Missouri teams have teamed up, so that's scary enough. How afraid are you that Johnny Cueto might not make it?
I'm not afraid. I mean, I don't get, I don't have like a bonus writing on it. It's not
I know
my contract.
You don't have a
Chris, he doesn't make the lineup, man. Come on.
I don't make the lineup. I also don't make the All-Star game. Yeah, you're just setting it up for that. I don't know. I mean, I think he's got a decent chance. It's a pretty good field. The Reds joined up with the Tigers. That was their partner in crime. So, and Yoenis Cespedes has already said that he would, I think I asked him about it last month. He said he would only want to do the Home Run Derby if he was in it. Oh, wait, they've already announced that, haven't they?
They have.
That doesn't even matter. But yeah, so I don't know. I think he's got a shot. The other thing is, even if he wins, he's starting on Sunday. And last year he started on Sunday and didn't pitch, and it's just like because he had the Sunday start. So it would be kind of weird either way.
So a little bit of much ado about nothing with all this stuff about whether they should trade him before the All-Star break so he gets a chance to play. But I had a question, not serious. As you can see, Chris asks the serious questions, and I just ask the dumb ones.
I'm all about business.
If you know the emojis have been everywhere this week in sports. I was wondering if Cincinnati was an emoji, which emoji would it be?
Wow, I really don't know. I'm not up on my. I don't. I actually use words.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm old fashioned. No, I'm old fashioned. I'm out of touch. That
Take
means
that
I'm out of touch.
Players.
Well,
okay, fine. I'll try to ask a question that you could answer, maybe.
I'm trying to think. I'm like going through the emoji, and it's just like I don't know. I mean, the pig. We were once called Porkopolis. There's the pig. I don't know.
Well,
an eggplant, because you know, there's an eggplant.
That'll be a good tangent into this one. If somebody is coming to Cincinnati, and I mean, who knows whether they're coming there for the All-Star Game and listening to this podcast? But heck, maybe somebody is.
I'm sure there are tons.
Dozens.
What are the go-to places like to eat? Like, what's the most go-to bar? Like, what would you recommend?
I'll give you anything on Vine Street and over the Rhine for restaurants is going to be great. You've got a place called The Eagle, which has really good fried chicken, and I consider myself a Southerner, so I'm kind of picky about my fried chicken. The Eagle's great. Senate, you're going to pay a lot for a hot dog, but it's going to be a really good hot dog. Bakersfield is kind of a Mexican place. Taste of Belgium for the chicken and waffles. It's a whole street, and there's just a bunch of really good restaurants on it. And then a couple blocks over is Main Street, and you'll get some really good bars. I would go to Motor Pub is one of my favorites. Neon's Unplugged is great. Lots of good stuff around there on right around Main Street.
Do you have a good Cincinnati beer?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of them. I really like Rheingeist, and their brewery is, their tap room is great. It's up on Elm Street, up around 17th, 18th. They have a great space. It's this old building. Really, I'm not a huge IPA guy, but their Truth IPA lives up to its name. It's really good. So Rheingeist is really good. I hear great things about Taft's Ale House. I haven't been there yet. Mad Tree has some good stuff. Rheingeist. Like if you just kind of Google, the Rheingeist Hustle has a great label. I think one of the Mad Trees has a really good mustache label that's red, and it's kind of themed for the All-Star Game as well. So they've got some good stuff.
Because mustaches rule.
Mustaches are cool, apparently.
Well, thank you for joining us, sir. At C Trent on Twitter is where you can find him, and I know you are also in the podcast world, so you can go ahead and plug your podcast and whatever else you may want to tell the people before you get on out.
Yeah, the C-Dot Show, it's on iTunes and all that. Rate and review. Even if you haven't listened, just give us a good review. That would be cool. Cincinnati.com, at C-Trent. We're doing some Instagramming. I'm just doing at ENQ Reds. All sorts of stuff. It's really busy, and yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, he's a must-follow for the All-Star Game. Thank you again for joining us, and we really appreciate your time. And Chris, he taught us how to plug how we should properly plug our iTunes and tell people to review us.
Yeah, so you always, like every podcast you listen to says rate and review, and I have like three reviews on mine, but they're really good.
We need to step up our game on that one.
And I also learned that if I have a lineup-related complaint to bother him
the
on Twitter.
Yes.
And all your Pete Rose questions, he is the man.
Heroes in lineup, my two favorite things.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is the Stew Pod. We'll be right back with our buddy Kevin Kaduk. Welcome back to the Stew Pod. It is our All-Star Game edition. My guy is Chris Swick, and we are joined by our Big League Stew godfather, our, I guess, the podcast co-king of Yahoo Sports, Kevin Kaduk. Mr. Kaduk, how are you?
We used to have a Big League Stew podcast. I don't know what happened to it, but thanks for resurrecting it.
See, we actually wondered this on one of our podcasts, if there was one, and I couldn't figure out whether there was. I tried to look it up.
I think it was like, I don't know, maybe three or four episodes long, and Nick Friedel of ESPN Chicago fame, who's been covering the Bulls like forever now, he was actually kind of like our intern in the inaugural season of Big League Stew, and I remember just doing a couple of them, and it kind of petering it out. I can't remember if we had any guests or anything like that, but it was not very long-lasting.
So that was like first wave podcasts. We are second wave podcasts.
Right,
now the podcasts are back, and if you're not familiar, you know, if you haven't been following all the things Kevin does since he graduated from Big League Stew, he does the Grandstanding podcast on Yahoo Sports, where they interview much more famous people than we get to talk to.
Which is an outgrowth of the Why Is This News podcast, which was kind of that one and a half, like podcasting one and a half. And the highlight of that was we actually got to interview Hank Aaron. That was probably the best one we ever had.
Nice.
We also interviewed Donald Trump, where he pretended that he was a regular listener of our podcast, despite it only being like two episodes old. But he didn't say anything racially insensitive, so that was a win.
Well, nonetheless, if you like our page, our podcast, go check out Grandstanding, also on Yahoo Sports and on iTunes. Plug, plug. So we got obviously a lot of All-Star stuff to talk about, and I don't think to anyone's surprise, probably the person that's going to get talked about the most is not an active player, not a guy who's going to be on the field, you know, in a uniform playing the game on Tuesday or hitting in the Home Run Derby Monday. It's Pete Rose. So our first question for all of us here, and Kevin, I'll let you go first. What do you think is the ideal spot for Pete Rose to fit into the All-Star game, given everything that's surrounding him, all the drama, all that stuff?
It's so odd because I think one of the cooler things with the All-Star game is kind of having a celebration for the number one guy, and whether it was Willie Mays coming out of center field in the Cadillac in 2007 or Stan Musial getting his turn in 2010. There's always kind of this, it seems that place that Pete Rose would be that guy, but he's not going to be that guy. There's no way that they're going to open up the stands and he's going to be coming out by himself. There's just no way Major League Baseball is going to let that happen. But I think what we're going to see is probably a more of a celebration of the Big Red Machine. So it'll be Pete Rose standing alongside, you know, Johnny Bench and the rest of them. I think that probably makes the most sense. Obviously, I think Pete Rose is bigger than all those guys. You know, you could probably make the argument that behind Hank Aaron and Willie Mays, he's maybe the third most famous baseball player alive. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from a legend standpoint, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you're going to argue Sandy Koufax, but it's not like he's always in the limelight.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you that sort of the group method is probably the best way for baseball to do it without just totally pissing off the Cincinnati fans, who, of course, you know, we had C. Trent on, and he told us how Cincinnati basically wants them to erect the Hall of Fame around Pete Rose at the game. Like, that's how they want him honored. But, you know, so that's not obviously not going to happen. But, I mean, that feels like the best way to include him without you know, going too far to sort of piss off the people who, you know, are very anti-Pete Rose. So I think that's it. I mean, it seemed like that franchise four thing they did was a nice way to kind of let him in without having to, you know, give him the full endorsement of Major League Baseball. So, you know, that kind of works. I think it seems like they want to include him, but they don't want to rubber stamp him too much because they don't want to set some precedent about, well, look what you guys did. You let Pete Rose in that time and, you know, pay for it years down the road.
So Greg Wyshynski and I taped a video debate that's going to be available on Yahoo Sports about whether or not he should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm a staunch Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame guy. And I think, obviously, achievements speak for himself. But if you're going to ban him from baseball, it's almost like ban him from baseball. Don't bring him back for the greatest all-time team in 1999. Don't make him the centerpiece or include him on the field for an all-star game in Cincinnati. Doesn't it seem like a little hypocritical to you that they, when it's to their advantage?
Oh, yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? I went to the Cooperstown last year to see Frank Thomas and the rest of them inducted. And it's like they have so much Pete Rose memorabilia there. I mean, in featured spots, and it's kind of cherished, and it's not, you know, set aside at all. It's just celebrated within the history of the game. But when it comes to the plaque, it's like there's this thing where it's like, oh, you can't have the plaque on it. We can celebrate the hell out of 4,256, but we can't actually celebrate the man, which I just don't understand.
I've always been a fan of just put it on the plaque. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Why not?
Like, you know, with Pete Rose, I'm conflicted about whether he belongs in the Hall of Fame since he kind of broke rule number one. But if you're going to put him in, like, just put it on the plaque, man. People should know that this guy did a bad thing according to baseball, and he was out of the game for, you know, X number of years.
Yeah.
So from one notorious guy to another, A-Rod, there's been some talk this week about whether he should be in the on the All-Star team. I know where Chris lands on this one. He's our big A-Rod fan, and you know, by the time the game happens, he could very well make it. You know, the injuries come up, people bow out for different reasons. So, you know, at the time we're talking, A-Rod is not on the All-Star team, but you know, by Monday, he very well could be. Kevin, do you think that where do you stand on should A-Rod be an All-Star?
I think he should be. I think that Major League Baseball should look to put as many famous faces as possible in that thing. Right, we've already talked ad nauseum about the Clayton Kershaw oversight, and according to the totals right now, it doesn't look like he's going to get in. We've somehow banished him to the final vote status, which is crazy. But of course, pitchers have always had a little bit harder time getting into the All-Star game than others, just because they don't really get elected by the fans, so you don't get carried along like maybe a Derek Jeter or a Cal Ripken or Tony Gwynn did in their later years. But yeah, I want Alex Rodriguez there. I want as many famous faces as possible. I think it's great that Albert Pujols is back. I think it's great that Prince Fielder is back. Anything that is like, but at the same time, you've got a good mixture of the new stars there too as well. So anything that gets more casual fans in through the door, I think is good. And who's a bigger draw right now than a controversial A-Rod appearance at the All-Star game? I don't think there is anybody.
It's not going to happen, though, because no one's going to add. We kind of hit on this with Trent a little bit, but no one's going to add him at this point. Ned Yost isn't going to bring him on, and then whoever the heck else is responsible after Ned Yost is not going to put him in the game, so feel like our time has passed.
Is it completely up to Ned Yost right now, or is it anything to do with the voting? Not the final vote, but the player voting. There's no like next in line on the player vote that would get him in.
I'm not entirely sure how it works.
I'm not either.
Say for certain.
But Mike, didn't you write about the player vote, and wasn't A-Rod pretty low on that?
You know, they only list certain people, and he wasn't listed. So
he was behind Hank Blaylock and Joe Creedy.
Yes,
we just had a discussion about before we got on the podcast.
I think A-Rod should just show up in Cincinnati on Tuesday and just like sightsee and just go and like sit on all the mustaches and just do just
sit on the mustaches. Come on now, this is a family podcast.
Oh yeah, you didn't hear the segment before this. But just do like regular tourist stuff in Cincinnati, just totally unaware, you know, just like, I'm just having some fun, eating some chili, man, just, you know, having a good old time. Oh, there's an All-Star game going on? Oh, I didn't even know.
Have you guys been to Cincinnati?
No.
No.
This is my first time since an ill-fated trip in 1999 when I went to go see the Wisconsin Football Badgers play Cincinnati, and they somehow ended up losing to this dog-ass Cincinnati Bearcats team. And I don't really remember too much from that. I've never had this chili, and I like lots of unhealthy things, but man, I don't know about this.
We have some Cincinnati questions for you later, and we may okay. Venture into this chili realm, or maybe just some food stuff.
Sure.
So
sure.
Let's not burn that too yet.
Okay.
I know Chris has stuff.
Yeah, I usually run my podcast. I have to remember I'm the guest here. So
yeah, man, come on.
Here's the steering wheel. I'm handing it back to you figuratively.
Get in the guest role.
Yeah, before we get to the great chili, or not great chili, I don't know, I haven't had it either. You can tell us. You can come back on and give us the chili review. Anyway, we got to talk about the new Home Run Derby format. I wrote about how I had some problems with it, and I'm definitely willing to rehash those. But first, you know, Kevin, I want to get your thoughts on the new format.
So here's the thing to me. It's still going to be a 3-hour broadcast, right?
Probably.
Unless you cut it down from 3 hours to 2 hours, it's still going to be interminable.
It may be longer because they have the whole thing where you can add time based on.
Right.
You know, it could be even longer now.
Right. So to me, it's like, yeah, that's fine. But I've always thought that if you really want to make that into a really good presentation, cut down on the broadcast time, because no one wants to sit around for 3 hours and watch that. There's a lot and a lot of commercials. Always has been in those home run derbies. So to me, I'm fine with the clock. I think it'll be kind of interesting. I like the head-to-head thing. It kind of harkens back to the old home run derby shows with Mickey Mantle and Harmon Killebrew and all those guys. So I like that. I like the distance bonuses. It'll be interesting to see how that works. I always thought it'd be kind of cool in some of these stadiums where there really isn't a natural target to aim at, whether it's McCovey Cove in San Francisco or the Fountains in Kansas City, the street in Wrigley or Fenway. I thought it'd be cool if they kind of actually set up some artificial targets, and that if you actually did hit these banners or section roped off sections or whatever, they would get bonuses for that.
You are speaking Chris's language, man.
That is literally the only thing we agree on with the home derby.
No, but like I just remember of like the last few home run derby. I've been to every All-Star game since San Francisco in 2007. And the ones that do stand out are the ones where it was kind of a cool stadium setup. And I remember the one at Kauffman just being awesome. When you know, you'd get kind of be delighted when one reached the fountains. Now at a place like Anaheim or Busch Stadium, like, it didn't seem as fun. Last year was okay at Target Field because they've got that really big upper deck in the left field, and so seeing some of them get up there was cool. But I don't know how it will shake out at Cincinnati, because I think the river is still too far beyond right field fence for, I don't think too many people, if anyone's ever gotten there, not on the fly, certainly. Maybe Adam Dunn on a bouncer or two.
But I like brackets. I just think that, and in general, brackets are a thing that please me. I just think they've made it so complicated, and it's just one of those things where, you know, the more they evolve, like, it just seems like every year they just add all these different circumstances, and it's kind of like what baseball does with rules. You know, they put in the pace of play stuff, they put in the replay stuff, and then there's, you know, 18 footnotes about how it works, and it's like, how does the general person understand this? And you talk about the broadcast, and it's like, how much are they going to have to explain over and over again about the distance bonuses, about the new rules? And so that's the thing, like, just make it simple, you know?
Mm-hmm. How did they determine the seating? Because the whole thing, like, looks like they're really praying for a Rizzo versus Bryant showdown. Or maybe that's just me. I don't know.
It's based on home runs. So who else is first, because he has the most. I really hate the brackets. I hate the fact that Jock Peterson and Manny Machado have to go up against each other in the first round. I feel like baseball should be really embracing their young talent. And so one of those guys is getting knocked out immediately. Yeah. I think that kind of stinks. I'd rather see...
But you talk about the previous format, and you've got Josh Hamilton making the greatest all-time home run derby highlight of all time with 28 homers in the semis or whatever they called it, and then nobody remembers he lost to Justin Morneau that year. Like, how does Josh Hamilton not win the derby title that year? Right? Yeah. So, I mean, that was stupid, too.
But that can happen in this, too. Yeah, I mean, let's say he does that in the second round, and then he, you know, putters out in the finals. And
it's true.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just seems like... Like, there should be a way to make it simpler and better. And I love the concept. It's kind of like the dunk contest. I mean, I love the idea. Just, like, hone it in a little bit and figure out how to make it simple and fun.
Yeah. I think it's still better than the dunk contest.
Yeah, well, the dunk contest really went off the rails in terms of trying to make it so kind of weird and you know, tinkering with the rules. So I don't even know what happens in the dunk contest anymore because I don't bother watching it. But
I watched when it I was a kid, I had never heard of the guy who was in it, the Zach LaVine guy. I was like, eh. I mean, he threw down a nice dunk or two, but it was, you know, it was no Sean Kemp.
Here's a question that all of us can weigh in on. Who would you like to see as the starting pitchers this year? That is not yet at the time of us talking, and maybe when you, the listener, are listening, maybe it's been decided. But as of right now, we don't know. So, who would you guys like to see starting?
I'll let
Scherzer Sale.
Yeah,
there it is.
You said Scherzer Sale.
Scherzer Sale.
I like it.
I'm really big on Chris Sale, just because it seems like everything's coming together with him right this year for that Cy Young season. He doesn't have Felix in his way, or really anybody else. So I think Sale getting that nod is pretty great, and hopefully it'll be a kind of a nice midpoint to hopefully what will be a Cy Young season. I mean, it certainly has to this point, but I know you guys are big on Dallas. I can't pronounce his last name. Keuchel.
That's what I was going to say. Like, Keuchel. I think Keuchel. It'd be just cool.
But it's like, wait your damn turn, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't really think, I mean, in the AL, there's a lot of great choices. You could still go with Chris Archer, and that wouldn't be that bad.
Sonny Gray,
right. So I expect there's going to be, Nedios is going to come under a lot of criticism no matter what he does.
I think Sale Scherzer, though, is the best sort of, like, if you're putting it on a fight card, you know. I think that's, like, the best big name yeah. lineup, you know, headliner kind of heavyweight thing. But, you know, I think...
I think that goes back to what I was saying. Like, they need as many stars as possible, and I think you need... I think Major League Baseball needs to have those guys at the top, and that's not to say... those other guys aren't going to go on to be really big stars, but I think Sale and Scherzer have done enough to where they deserve those headline spots.
Because you could make a case for Zach Greinke versus Sonny Gray, but
right.
would you rather see that or Chris Sale and Max Scherzer? And I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you survey fans that don't live in L.A. or Oakland, I mean, 10 out of 10 are going to say Sale and Scherzer. So.
Sale had a cool all-star moment a couple of years ago, right? What did he do? Did he strike out the side, or
I remember what it was? I think that's what he did. Yeah, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, something like
that. I mean, I think, you know, that kind of stuff. But he's the guy that can come and do that, and that's exciting, and that's gonna, you know, if he comes in and you know, like, strikes out Bryce Harper and whoever. I mean, that's gonna be stuff we care about versus yes. you know. Are we going to care about Zach Greinke versus Matt Harper? I mean, Bryce Harper, sorry.
Okay, Sale in 2013, he pitched two scoreless innings to get the win. That's what I was remembering.
There you go.
Sorry. There you go. And yeah, I feel like A.J. Burnett has no chance to start the game, but it, you know, it's his final year. It'd be kind of a cool send-off, even though I think Max Scherzer is, you know, far and away the better choice. You at least have
That's
kind
crazy
of a,
that
kind
Burnett
of a story
has never made it. I mean, yeah. We talk about how hard it is for pitchers to rack up a lot, but for someone of Burnett's caliber, I know he's not a Hall of Famer, but for this to be his first at 38 is kind of insane.
If it was based on tattoos, man, I think he could be a starter.
Matt Latos would always be in the All-Star game.
He would. But sorry, man. So I think we want to wrap up the All-Star topical point before we get to some of the fun questions with this one, and it's one of those questions like the DH, just, you know, one of those divisive things, Kevin, and you've probably made your sentiment known on this topic before. Should the All-Star game quote unquote count?
Probably not, but I don't mind it. I don't think we've had, like, a lot of situations where it was so egregious that someone opened up the World Series on the road when they shouldn't have. I don't think home field advantage is that possible, that crazy. So I don't mind that it does. You know, it's still only sports. We're still not, like, deciding the fate of human civilization, if that makes sense. So I'm okay with it. If I had my druthers, I'd say, okay, don't make it count and let's just, like, still have a lot of fun with this. But it's not the end of the world.
Chris?
It shouldn't count. I mean, look at how much of a joke the voting was for the majority of this year. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the fact that Omar Infante almost started in a game that could determine home field in the World Series. And I agree with Kevin. I don't think that's a big deal, getting home field or not. But I don't know. I think it's ridiculous. It's a popularity thing. Let's have fun. This doesn't need to count for anything.
Can we go one podcast, Chris, without trying to rile up the second best fans in baseball? Can we do that?
I can't do it. I love the emails, and I just hope to keep getting them.
I need to throw a TM on that one. Second best fans in baseball. That's going to be my new thing. All right, so there we have it on that, Kevin. We have some other fun stuff we like to do in the podcast. So hopefully you will indulge us. First, I want to talk about some All-Star experiences. So I know you've been to a lot of All-Star games. You, as far as I know, you're a big fan of the All-Star game.
Sure.
What is your All-Star highlight that stands out to you as something you've seen in person?
I think there's a bunch of them. I think on my Tumblr page last year, I ranked everything that I had, every game that I had been to. I was kind of thrilled in 2009 to see the president throw out the first pitch being there in person. I'd never seen a president in person, even though I was very far away from him up in the press box. But I thought that was really cool. I love presidential baseball history. In my time at Big Leagues too, I did a ton of posts about it. So I was like that. Last year was great because it was my first trip to Minnesota and Target Field. And Target Field, I think, is a real gem that not a lot of people talk about. But that park, I would say, I mean, it's easily top 10 and possibly top maybe 5 or 6 for me. So I had a good time up there. I thought that was a really good kind of all-around experience. And then I think my first one in 2007, which was Willie Mays, and then kind of the Barry Bonds, in the middle of the Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron chase. So that really stands out because I think AT&T Park is by far the best park. And that was the Ichiro inside the park home run year. So that was probably the best play I've seen.
And we were talking before we started recording, but you and I were almost at the same All-Star game in 2003, but you hit a bit of a snag trying to get there.
Yeah, in 2003, I was living in Kansas City, and it was here at U.S. Cellular Field. And I wanted to go, and my buddy and I drove up with the idea that we would scalp tickets. Well, I was making like $22,000 a year as a high school sports reporter, so once I got up here and got wind of how much the tickets cost, I think we went and just watched it in a bar in Lakeview or somewhere and got drunk. And so I missed that whole thing. But I was at the All-Star Workout Day in 1990 at Wrigley Field, which was the last time it's been at Wrigley. And you would assume it's probably going to be coming back there maybe 2020, 2021, once all these renovations are done. But that was cool. That was one that still wasn't a big deal, the All-Star Workout Day. It was like during the day, they had the home run derby. The wind was blowing in. Ryan Sandberg won it with 3 home runs. I was stopped by an overzealous Wrigley Field usher from getting Tim Raines' autograph. He was like signing autographs, and I went to run down the aisle, and this like 108-year-old lady just collared me, and so you can't get his autograph. And like Tim Raines was like beckoning me to come down to sign for him, and she still wouldn't let me go. It's to this day I'm still broken up over it.
You got beat up by an old lady, huh? That's what you just did.
Collared, okay. Not beaten up. Yeah. Collared.
Well, we're gonna take it as beaten up. That's how I.
She may have grabbed me by my ear for. Yeah, I may have blocked it out of my ear, out of my mind.
I went to the 1987 All-Star Game as a fan.
Nice.
And it was, I will tell you this.
Only time it's ever been in Oakland. Probably the only time it ever will be in Oakland.
I was 7 years old at the time. And they played 13 innings, and that was very difficult for me. It was very hard. But I had a good time. I still have the ticket.
Kudos to whoever took you for keeping you there the whole time.
My mom took me, and my mom hustled and got us tickets. And we were sitting next to... You guys probably never heard of this guy, Thad Bosley. You might have his baseball card, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, I love Thad Bosley. No, I have no idea who that is.
We were sitting next to his parents. Chris is young, man. He probably wasn't even born in 1987.
I mean, I don't even want to admit whether or not I was. So
you may not. I don't think you were you?
I was born in 1987.
Okay. Were you born on July 14th, 1987?
No, I was born on July 23rd, so I wasn't even alive.
Oh, so there you go. You were born after the All-Star game.
Good times. Yeah.
So you were next to I was next to
his parents. So we ended up like talking to his parents and stuff. It was, I don't know, like so whenever I saw his baseball card, I was like, oh, I mean, I didn't really care about that guy, you know. But
I'm really glad to hear that your mom is the sort of person that will keep you there the whole time, because that's what my parents were like. We never left early, and there was and when I was in high school, I had a girlfriend, and her parents. Took us to this Bears, I think Packers game, or I don't know, it was some sort of Bears game. And at the end of the third quarter, they're like, let's go. And I was like, what, WTF? I'm like 6 years. He's like, ah. And she's like, we always leave early to beat the traffic. I was like, you have to be shitty. Like, I was like, this is unbelievable. And it opened my eyes to the fact that there are people who leave sporting events early. And it was, another traumatic experience of my childhood.
No, yeah, I was there the whole time, man. And my mom is super down. I will say that. My mom, when I was a kid, like, we would go to games all the time, and she would help me try to, like, get autographs, and, you know, she told off Jose Canseco once because he wouldn't sign autographs for a bunch of kids, and, you know, so my mom back in the day, she was pretty sweet at the baseball games.
Nice.
I'll save that whole story for another podcast, but I want to know and you maybe hit on this with the stadiums, but outside of the stadiums, which cities do you think have done the what city has done the best in terms of, like, presenting the entire experience that you've been to?
Well, it's always the smaller cities are always better, because it's happened twice in New York since I've been going, and that city doesn't stop for the All-Star game. It's just another thing that's going on. You don't notice. Yeah, it's kind of cool maybe to be in the big city, New York City hotel with all that stuff going on, but you don't notice. I think the best was Minnesota was awfully good, and maybe it's just recency bias. Kansas City was great. They had a big thing on the plaza, a lot of stuff going on. There was no mistaking that the All-Star game was there. Anaheim, not so much. That was definitely an Orange County feeling. They had the fan fest in some nondescript convention center, and meh. And St. Louis, I don't like being in St. Louis. So even though there's a good baseball atmosphere there, I'm not going to give them any credit. So Kansas City and Minnesota right now would be the tops for me.
All right. So we do a segment on the Stew Pod called Important Questions, and we've got to that point, and we are changing it up a little bit this time.
Okay.
We are asking you important questions, but they are about specifically Cincinnati.
Okay.
So I will just warn you, this sometimes ends with me asking people if they wish their mom would date Bryce Harper or A-Rod. I'm not going to ask you that question.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you that, just so you know.
Okay.
But first off, without looking it up, spell Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
I actually don't know if that's right. It sounded like that was right.
Come on, man. I mean, I've written about baseball for how long? If you don't know how to spell Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Hey, man, I mess it up all the time. I don't know.
Mike was admitting some stuff before we recorded about not knowing how to spell Cincinnati.
It's just like one of those things where it's like, I actually remember really learning how to spell that when Wisconsin did play Cincinnati when I was a sports editor of the Badger Herald. I remember committing that to memory.
I mess up on where the second N is sometimes.
It's like if you cover Duke, you have to know how to spell Krzyzewski.
Krzyzewski. I know how to spell Samardzija. I'm just saying that, you know.
Same here. You know.
C. Trent didn't have a good answer for this one, but maybe he's a little too close. What is the... If Cincinnati was an emoji, what emoji would it be?
Is there a steamboat emoji?
I'm not sure, actually.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess.
We'll go. You wanted me to say, like, the pile of crap emoji, didn't you?
No.
No, that's Kansas City.
I was going to say that's St. Louis.
Either way. All right, so are you going to try Skyline Chili?
Yeah, I'm going to have to, because I don't foresee myself ever going back to Cincinnati after this, so I don't think there's a question that I'm going to have to try.
I was going to say, would you rather eat Cincinnati chili for a week for dinner or St. Louis pizza?
Probably taste unseen, taste untasted, Skyline Chili, yes.
Okay, hold on. Someone's going to have to explain St. Louis pizza to me.
It's like, it's got this crappy cheese and it's on a cracker crust. It's like this cheese that nobody else has, the Provel cheese, and it's just awful. Do not try it.
I will not. I'm not going
to
eat that.
So you guys haven't been to Great American Ballpark either, right?
No.
Correct. Yeah.
It's like one of those things where I've never been to it because it's never on the way to anything else. And you know, unless you've got family, when are you going to go to Cincinnati? So.
Who is your favorite Cincinnati athlete?
Pete Rose.
I thought you were going to say Chris Sabo, man. I thought you
were. I love Pete Rose. I really do. I just my friend just had a son, and I bought him a onesie that from that homage t-shirt shop, and it's Charlie Hustle diving into third base. It's awesome. I could probably come up with some like old like Cincinnati Bearcat, I guess, but
I mean, you could, man, you could do it. You could have done like Kijana Carter, right? Achilles Smith. You know, there's some guys you could do. Who's the better Cincinnati native, Jerry Springer or Neil Armstrong?
Larry Flint. I'm just split it down the middle.
I mean, I guess he would be kind of the middle of those two guys.
Yeah.
Are we going to find any inappropriate pictures of you with the mustaches on the internet after this event ends?
No, but what's the Rosie Red, the female mascot? She's kind of sexy.
Hey, Rosie Red, you want to go on a mustache ride? There's a 10.
Hey, Rosie Red, I mean, it's just, yeah, she's kind of cute. I like her.
All right. If you were going to spend an evening on the town, just hanging out and having a good time with one of the Nasty Boys, which one would you pick?
So the Nasty Boys are Rob Dibble, Norm Charlton, and who's the third one?
Randy Myers.
I don't know too much about any of them, I guess. Who would you pick?
Probably, there's something to be said about Dibble. Hanging out with a guy named Norm that I just feel like would be fun. I don't know, but that's how I would choose it, but, you know, whatever.
I could get together Randy Myers and ask about the time that he blew a save on poster day at Wrigley Field and everyone threw the Randy Myers posters on the field.
You're lucky, since you are my boss, I did not ask you a question about dating one of the Nasty Boys. Just know that.
That's good.
That's the reverence I have for you.
I appreciate that.
Any more important questions, Chris? Have I wrapped it up? Do we end there?
I think that's where you got to end with the Nasty Boys.
All right.
I
was saving them for the end. So.
So no Tom Browning references.
No. Well, I mean, the Nasty Boys are a Cincinnati institution. So.
Okay.
Got to go there, and we got in our Chris Sabo reference.
I didn't reference Joey Votto, Derek Davis,
who I like.
It's really weird that there's not going to be a Joey Votto at the Cincinnati All-Star Game, right?
Yeah, that does seem.
Yeah, weird. That is strange.
I will say, Eric Davis was when I was a kid. When I did my phase of sending out baseball cards to players to get them signed, Eric Davis is one of only two people who sent them back. So I've always liked Eric Davis. So
I think he's a great what if story. Because he was as good as anybody back in the day. Chris was a little too young to see him play, but
I was going to say, Chris, do you even know who Eric Davis is?
Little bit, yeah.
Okay, good. Whippersnapper.
I want to take this moment to remind everyone that Danny Graves made two All-Star teams.
He did.
I just randomly looked that up. So.
But A-Rod is not an All-Star this year.
I like, yeah. There's a lot of great, like, late 90s Reds that just are great references. From Pokey Reese to Scott Williamson and.
We didn't even talk about the fact that every team gets a representative. I think personally that's kind of cool, but then you wind up with like Danny Graves on two teams and Ken Harvey making a team, which is kind of hilarious in retrospect, I think.
But think about how many times when you were a kid just waiting to watch, you know, your member of the Chicago White Sox splash up there. Like, you liked that. You know, it sucks. I think Ken Harvey as an All-Star is just collateral damage, a necessary evil.
All right, have we gone far enough down the path now? Can I do some business?
Sure.
All right.
We talked to Ken Harvey, we're
done here. We need to wrap this up. Kevin Kaduk will be our man on the scene for the All-Star game. Follow him on Twitter at Kevin Kaduk. Of course, on Big League Stew, we're going to have tons and tons and tons of All-Star content, including this podcast. So come back every day. All the way through next Friday, we're going to have cool stuff. So definitely make us your hub for MLB All-Star 2015. And I will be quizzing Chris about how many Reds he does not know throughout the week. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you to C. Trent Rosecrans from the Cincinnati Inquirer. Thanks to Chris for being a baby. Yeah. I'm Mike Oz. This has been the Stew Pod. Thanks, guys. The way I- Back, we'll cross it.
campaign, corn.